Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, here we were. We were in the middle of the show yesterday and had a guest joining us for the program. Was it? Yeah, yesterday morning. And all of a sudden, he's like, holy cow, the wind is just whipping through here. And I looked outside my window here and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm looking at the street light just swaying in the wind like it was a something made of cloth, and that was the street light out here. So we kind of briefly mentioned it while we were live on the air yesterday. And then, my goodness, if I was going to do an update for you here this morning, talking about the severe weather that we had across the state of Montana yesterday. Normally, if a high wind event comes through, it might target, say, a Missoula, or it might target a Miles City. But it would probably be easier today to tell you which parts of the state did not get hit with the severe weather rather than to tell you which parts of the state did get hit by the severe weather. But this was a story that I posted immediately after seeing the news yesterday afternoon. I saw KJJR Radio in Kalispell on their Facebook page shared this this really kind of sad update here. The cross near Big Fork, you know, certainly if you're listening to KJJR right now, you are familiar with the cross near Big Fork, this inspirational landmark smack dab in the middle of God's country in the Flathead Valley of Montana. The high winds still whipping through the valley knocked down the cross on Wednesday. But even if you're elsewhere across Montana, if you've been to the Flathead Valley, you've seen it right there, that beautiful landmark, that beautiful white cross right above the river, right, you know, just north of Flathead Lake. High winds wreaking havoc across the state yesterday down into the Bitterroot Valley. If you haven't seen that video, in fact, I went after the show yesterday, I went and got some of some books from Tom Opry, who is the producer of this documentary, The Real Yellowstone. He's got a book out called The Real Yellowstone as well. So I went to go pick up a couple of books from him, and he was showing me on his cell phone. He's like, did you see this video out of the Bitterroot Valley? Crack, crack, crack. I mean, trees just falling like they were dominoes. But really, the high winds just wreaked havoc all across the state, frankly. Helena down into Billings, power outages, etc. But yeah, KJJR Radio in Kalispell shared the post by the Big Fork Cross on Facebook saying this: it is with very heavy hearts we confirm the reports that our beloved cross has come down. However, what matters most is that my uncle, who built the cross and lives in a cabin near it, was unharmed. The Big Fork Cross has withstood many storms for more than 52 years, and my uncle always said it was God's cross, not his. God could have held it up, but he allowed it to fall today. That was shared by the Big Fork Cross on Facebook. And my immediate reaction, and I hope I'm right with this one, because I haven't confirmed it, but my immediate reaction was this: wind took the cross down, but the people of Big Fork will raise it back up. Just like I say, I haven't confirmed that, if that's, you know, planned or not, but that's certainly what I hope, and I'm sure many of you hope as well, especially given our faith in the people of Big Fork. What an incredible community.
It's December 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Arabic Language Day, with about 390 million people speaking the language. It's one of the most widely used in the world. The earlier Arabic inscriptions were created in the early 6th century A.D. HTML 4.0 was published by the World Wide Web Consortium in 1997. Also on this day in 2002, fashion designer Calvin Klein announces he's selling his company's shirt maker, Phillips Van Heusen, for $430 million.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars.
James Cameron's Avatar in 2009, starring Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, and Sigourney Weaver, released in the U.S., becomes the highest-grossing film of all time. South Africa's ANC selects Cyril Ramaphosa as leader to succeed President Jacob Zuma in 2017. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, real quick, I did reach out to the Flathead County Commissioners to see if one of them wants to join us on the show today. The Flathead County Board of Commissioners, though, is convening an emergency meeting. Well, actually, they convened one yesterday, but then they're meeting again today, so they won't be able to join us. But they have declared a local emergency due to these extreme weather conditions. So we'll talk more about that here later in the hour. Plus, we'll have the phone lines open for you for anything and everything you want to talk about here this hour of the show. But first, one great guest kicking off the hour here this morning, Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. He is covering this big, massive fraud scandal in Minnesota, the Somali fraud scandal. Calls are now mounting for Minnesota governor and former Democrat vice presidential candidate Tim Walz to resign. Jeff Manasso, thanks for being with us as always. What's the latest?
Hey, Aaron, always good to be with you. So, I mean, these are calls both in-state and nationwide. One of the biggest calls coming from Education Secretary Linda McMahon, who's blasting Governor Tim Walz's handling of this massive and developing fraud crisis in the state that we're told could top billions of dollars and centered around the state's Somali community, including the theft of over $10 million from Minnesota's college education system. She's calling for him to step down. Separately, the Department of Ed also announced that since President Trump returned to the White House, that it's been able to claw back more than $1 billion in student aid fraud across the country, essentially stopping suspected bots and ghost students from obtaining taxpayer-funded loans. But as for fraud in Minnesota, Governor Walz he's got no choice, I think. The heat's pretty hot at this point when you've got numerous state employees and now so-called whistleblowers coming forward saying that he knew everything. He knew all about the fraud because we caught it, and we had ways to stop it. We wanted him to implement ways to stop it, but these conversations were ignored. So now Governor Walz just announced a statewide forensic auditing program saying the state was taken advantage of by an organized group of fraudsters and criminals, and most within the Somali community. And there's been many charges. Dozens of people have been charged. And this goes not just from education. It goes to, funds that deal with autism and feeding kids and other things, Medicaid, overbilling, all sorts of things. But also this letter from Linda McMahon to Walz, it also takes aim at Minnesota Democrat Rep. Ilhan Omar, who has been highly criticized for her close ties to some involved in the fraud scandal, saying that she borrowed tens of thousands of dollars in student loans and now does not think that she should have to repay despite her generous taxpayer-funded salary.
Yeah, this is crazy. The first number I heard, maybe the last number I ever heard, is this is close to $2 billion with a B in fraud just in Minnesota alone with the Somali community. And Tim Walz, there's state government employee whistleblowers that have come forward. Even the New York Times was quoting them, saying that they told him about it, he knew about it, and yet still did nothing. I mean, in addition to resigning, I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to be under criminal investigation. Talk more about why Education Secretary Linda McMahon is the one in particular kind of leading this charge. What's the educational component here? I heard you mention the term ghost students.
Yeah, well, so as for right now, Aaron, the Department of Ed says about $10 million has been stolen, and ghost student scheme. Essentially, it's like a fraudulent enrollment where scammers use stolen or fabricated personal information like names, social security numbers to apply for college admissions, often in large batches using automated bots. And once accepted, which is so weird, I guess that happens these days. Back when we went to school, right, it was, you had to fill out something, you needed to write, use a pen, and you probably met with somebody. But once accepted, they apply for financial aid like Pell Grants or student loans, and after the funds are dispersed to their accounts, the students vanish without attending classes, and AI is kind of involved.
So just milking every single government system possible to milk money from the American taxpayers. They were using every single program they could possibly milk, and they were milking it.
Oh, milking it from welfare to EBT to education loans to programs that help autistic kids. To programs that feed starving children, to overbilling of Medicaid, to Section 8 housing, to you name it, it's happened. And again, a former U.S. attorney who's investigated some of this has said that we're just scratching the surface as it pertains to Minnesota and fraud. Really nationwide as it pertains to some of these groups
iceberg. I think it was probably you that used that phrase when it comes to this specific story in one of your reports. Jeff Bonasso with Fox News Radio. Look forward to your continued coverage on Fox News Radio. Thanks so much for being with us here on Montana Talks.
You bet.
All right, quick break here on the show. The phone number for you, 406-294-0970. What do you want to talk about? We've got really actually a busy lineup here. Next hour of the show, we're going to be talking agriculture, global trade, economics, and so much more. So we've got a great guest joining us next hour of the show. So we got the phone lines open right now. Great time to call in. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And then even Friday, we're going to have a big lineup for tomorrow's show as well.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump spoke to the nation to recap the first year of his second term. He discussed the global reach of what he said is his favorite word, tariffs.
Which for many decades have been used successfully by other countries against us, but not anymore.
President Trump said the tariffs of foreign nations, both allies and adversaries, have been lucrative for America, and companies are coming back because of it.
They're building factories and plants at levels we haven't seen. AI, automobiles, we're doing what nobody thought was even possible.
Moving forward, he plans to continue recouping what he says other administrations have cost us.
Companies know that if they build in America, there are no tariffs.
How tariffs proceed could depend on a Supreme Court decision on that policy. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told Fox Business he expects that ruling could come in January. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, we got some callers on the line, some great callers on the line, and I am so excited to get some of your phone calls here because I got way too much to talk about. And so I'm like, man, what am I going to talk about? There's too much to talk about here. And so when you call in and tell me what you want to talk about, that gives me a good idea. All right, let's roll with it here. A little background here first. I'm going to get to Jim and Billings here in just a second, but a little background here first. So earlier this morning, our friend David Noble and I were chatting, and I'm sure many of you follow David Noble on X at LCTRFan, but we were talking about the big Cat Grizz game coming up Saturday. You know, another Cat Grizz game. This is so incredible. The Montana State Bobcats and the University of Montana Grizzlies facing off once again, but this time in Bozeman, and this time for the semifinal game to go to the national championship. And it's even bigger than your normal Cat Grizz and even bigger than your normal semifinal game, because this could very well practically be the championship game this Saturday. Because NDSU, the number one undefeated, well, previously undefeated, North Dakota State University, got ousted by the unranked Illinois State in, like, what, round two of the playoffs or something? So this is going to be a massive a massive Saturday in Bozeman. And so, but anyway, David and I were kind of joking that because we both went to the University of Montana, and so we're both Grizz fans, of course. But then David said, you know, part of the reason why he, a kid who grew up in Bobcat country in Manhattan, Montana, right down the road from Bozeman, he said part of the reason why he wanted to go to school in Missoula was because he wanted to go to school in a foreign country. So that's why he went to school in Missoula. So a little backdrop for you there. Jim in Billings, of course, what prompted that whole conversation was, or actually then after that, we were talking about how, you know, members of Congress will visit foreign countries. And then I joked about how over Thanksgiving, I visited a foreign country and went to Missoula myself. So Jim, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
So the point that I was trying to make is if our diplomats do go and visit other countries, of course, they're going to see nothing but the best of that country. They're not going to talk to the people that are struggling. They're not going to know the hard work, everything that goes into it. Kind of like when Xi Jinping came and visited San Francisco a few years ago. Of course, they power washed the streets. They got all the homeless people, all the drug needles, and all the feces off the sidewalk to make a good impression for this diplomat that was visiting. And I think that's what our diplomats would run into over wherever they go, is nothing but the best. Oh, everything is fine here, but not really getting down to the poor and the people that are struggling.
That's such a very good point. So yeah, because David Noble was making the point that he likes to travel the world, and he encourages people to travel if they can. And his basically point is like, look, the more you travel to other countries, the more you will appreciate America, the more you will appreciate it being an American and coming back
home. Absolutely.
Especially when you live in Montana, of course. But yeah, and to your point, because if you, the everyday person, goes and visits these other countries, you're going to see more of the underbelly. You're going to see more of the day-to-day struggles, and especially if you spend a lot of time there, not just do the 2-3 day trip where you just go see the sights and eat the fancy meals, right?
You got that right.
But to your point, like, oh, if you go do one of these fancy visits, they're going to make everything look great, and they're going to put on all the spin and all the propaganda. And, yeah, you could see how some, whether it's social media influencers, media folks, or members of Congress, if they're, you know, easily swayed, they could be easily swayed into getting a false picture.
That's for sure.
Yeah, great point. Great point. Have you gotten to travel a little bit? Where have you been able to travel over the years, Jim?
I have been. So, of course, down to Mexico and Canada, visited the two places north and south of us. I also, in 1987, I got to go to Russia for 10 days over in Moscow. And this was, of course, the old USSR, not the brand new, kinder and gentler USSR. This was still communist USSR. And you're absolutely correct. It felt like, or it looked like, the 1950s over there. This was in 1987. It felt like the 1950s, the cars, the apartments, the lifestyle over there just felt like they were so far behind America, of course.
I was talking with a friend who was recently in Cuba doing a Christian missions trip. And yeah, he said it's just crazy. You know, you still see the old what you just said about communist Soviet Union is exactly what he just saw in Cuba recently, very
yes.
Recent. Yeah.
Yes, a lot of Americans, we don't know how good we have it.
That's right. That's right. You talking about being in Moscow reminded me, one of my favorite conversations that I've had on the radio show here, we had, you know, Wiley Galt with Wiley in the Wild West. He's the yodeler. He did the Yahoo yodel. That's Wiley from Wiley in the Wild West.
I've heard it, yes.
Yeah, well, I had him on the show one time. We were playing some of his music, and he actually got to perform. And I think the other guest that I had, former Russian ambassador Michael McFaul. He was a big time Democrat. He was Obama's ambassador to Russia, but he grew up in Montana, and so I got him on the radio show and talked to him in fun conversation. But they actually did a performance at, I think it was is it the Russia House in Moscow or some, you know, very important, you know, place like that. And Wiley in the Wild West performed at that very place in Moscow. And it just sounded epic because all of a sudden it turned into Montana. I mean, people are two-stepping and swing dancing and just having a good old time all in
very nice
freaking Russia. I mean, wouldn't that have just been incredible to be a fly on the wall even for something like that?
Absolutely, yes. Amazing.
All right, Jim, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Merry Christmas to you. Next up, we've got Perry in Columbus, Perry the poet. See, even if I had nothing to talk about, I could have nothing to talk about at all. I could just be boring you guys to death, but then Perry in Columbus will call in on the phone lines, and immediately we got a show. Perry, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Well, good morning, Aaron. You know, I kind of wanted to tie together a bunch of things that you guys have been talking about, you and John Jackson and David Noble and all the rest of you guys. Let's start out with Dan Bongino from this morning. I can tell you why Dan Bongino is leaving Washington, and part of it is Paula. And the other part of it is that he ran smack dab into the giant pile of Adam Schiff that is the federal government in the FBI building. And he's had enough because he went in there thinking he was going to be able to move mountains, and he's still going a shovel full at a time. And he's just not that kind of a person. Neither am I. But I want to tie it into now we're finally getting some time about the Somali thing. I've been trying to get on the phone to explain some of the details of that or talk about the details of it. But, you know, at this point, I'm just going to say that you look at Somalia, Nigeria, Ukraine, these are three of the most corrupt countries in the world, if you had to pick three. And the simple fact of the matter is that these people, by cultural, acclimation, are used to the only way that they get along is by taking advantage of anything that they can, anywhere they can. And they come over here and they settle, just take the Somalians. They come over here and they settle in Minnesota, where deep blue Minnesota, where everything is free because the Minnesotans are Minnesota nice. And what do you think is going to happen when you've got a giant spigot of federal and state money that is just wide open for these people to take what they want and forge anything they can have to get it? And it's just the way that I don't know why anybody expects anything different. And the thing about Tim Walz is it's just, this is standard operating procedure. Anywhere deep blue voters put radical Democrats in control, whether it's federal, state, or local. These people despise patriotism, morality, and Americans' rights and freedoms, and they worship only power, money, and control of our lives. And I want you to just think about, for your listeners, to think about the thousands of examples of intentional corruption and destruction since, oh, say, Barack Hussein Obama hypnotized enough naive voters to lie his way into the Oval Office. And what we need to understand is this will never stop until we the people take the gloves off and start imposing some real consequences on everyone involved in these shenanigans. Tim Walz should be on his way to jail, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like you can commit all the corruption in the world you want if you're a liberal Democrat politician elected to office, that there is zero accountability, it seems, for these guys. Matt, so many things that you shared there, Perry, that are bringing up thoughts. First, let's start with the Somali fraud. You're exactly right. Oh, Minnesota nice. Look at how nice we are in Minnesota. Well, your schools are crumbling despite all the money that you pump into them. You're getting your butt kicked by Mississippi right now on your school numbers. Again, Minnesota nice. Mercy to the wolf is cruelty to the sheep. They imported a whole bunch of Somalis and ended up bringing in a bunch of radical Islamists and a bunch of fraudsters. There's some very good people within that community. I fully understand. I've served with some of them in the Horn of Africa, right? But they bring in all these people. Mercy to the wolf is cruelty to the sheep. So you can be Minnesota nice to the wolf all you want. They're still going to slaughter you.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the sheep thing, because I'll tell you what, I'm not a sheep. I am a sheepdog, and we're all going to need to be sheepdogs, because this is never going to, if we don't start thinning the pack of wolves and letting them know that they're in danger every time they show their faces, this is never going to stop, and it's just going to get worse, and we're going to be, I guess we'll deserve what we get. But
and when you say thinning the herd, when you talk about thinning the herd, thinning the pack, you're not just talking about the actual wolves, because, yeah, we need to thin them out. You're talking about also the wolves in the streets, the wolves on the streets of America as well.
That is who I'm talking about.
Exactly. Hold that thought, Perry. I'll come back to you after the break if you can stick with us.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm glad that Perry in Columbus was able to stick around, because there's a lot that I want to chat with Perry about. Plus, if you want to call in, you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring as well, 406-294-0970. Let's see. So we talked briefly about the Somali fraud. Great comments there by Perry. Perry, I want to go back to what you had to say about FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, and I think you're spot on across the board there. The one quick thought that I was thinking, Perry, is the wheels of justice are very slow, aren't they? I mean, how frustrating would it be to just sit here and watch how slow the wheels of justice turn? I mean, it's like I feel like I'm on a wagon train on the Oregon Trail back in the day. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
You know, it's very true, and we have to be we have to have a component of patience, because changing the situation that we've been in since Barack Obama and Joe Biden is like trying to turn an aircraft carrier in heavy seas in a strong wind. It just isn't going to happen by snapping your fingers. But at the same time, I think he's just very frustrated that it seemed like he was just like waves bashing into the rocks, not getting anywhere because of the overarching structure of lack of mobility, for lack of a better term. But
well, I was surprised he took the deputy job to begin with. I mean, here's a guy with a nationally syndicated radio show and his podcast and his media outfit, where he's making millions, he's making an impact, he's got big influence, and then he stepped down basically for a deputy director job. I mean, it's a big job, don't get me wrong, but like, okay, you're the deputy to the FBI director, so you got to kind of sit there and say, okay, yes, boss, yeah, boss, well, hey, what about this, well, hey, what about that? But then on top of that, the FBI director is also underneath the attorney general, so you're the deputy essentially to one of the AG's deputies. And I just think when you're a Dan Bongino, when you're an alpha male, you know, when you're the alpha in that pack, to go back to the wolf analogy here, you know, you're not going to want to be the deputy to the deputy,
especially when you see that you can't really make any significant headway like you thought you were going to be able to, and you're leaving your wife in Florida. I think she's still in Florida, and he's made a gigantic sacrifice for this, and it's not panning out the way he had hoped. So
but it's basically a deployment. That was the other note that I wrote down while you were talking, was it's a DC deployment. You know, Senator Tim Sheehy, I'm still so thankful that he took, you know, he's making the sacrifice that he is making to be the U.S. senator. He has a very good life back here in Montana. They've got a ranch, incredibly successful business, great family and everything. And it's like, man, he is basically going on yet another deployment for America by serving as a U.S. senator. But thankfully, in his circumstance, you know, he's able to have his family with him back in Montana, and I think even back in D.C. to a certain extent. They homeschool their kids, so part of their homeschool is a front seat to civics, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. So I'm sure that's got to ease the burden for him a little bit. But, yeah, for Dan Bongino, I think he kind of talked openly about how, like, hey, he's not going to see his family hardly at all.
Well, you know, Tim Sheehy is a great patriot and a great senator, and I'm so thankful that he's in office, and I'm so glad that we put our noses on the stone and help. We had a little piece in South Central Montana of helping people understand how important it was to put a person like that into office, because that's exactly what we need in the United States right now, is SEALs, warriors, people who are ready to step up and save this country, because Lord knows, you can pray all you want, but there's a lot of evil people that want to destroy this place, and we simply cannot let it happen. For the kids, you know, I look around, I go to church, and I see all these beautiful children running around in the aisles and in the hallways, and that's who I want to save this country for, is the children.
Well, that's right, and the young adults, Gen Z, are going to have to be the ones that save it, that save this country, you know, and truly helped to save this country by stepping up in a big way in the last election cycle as well. You know, the other thing about Dan Bongino, and by the way, for those of you who hadn't heard the news yet, the DailyWire.com has the story. He plans to leave the FBI next month, posted a farewell announcement on X on Wednesday. President Trump had already hinted at Bongino's departure. He said, quote, "I think he wants to go back to his show," because for those who aren't familiar with Dan Bongino, right after Montana Talks, Dan Bongino's radio show came on the air on several of the same stations. Right after our show wraps up at 10 a.m., he occupied that same 10 a.m. time slot that the great Rush Limbaugh held for so many years. But he kind of split the time slot. He took half the stations, and then Clay and Travis, or Clay and Buck, took the other half. And so I also wonder if part of the reason why Bongino stepped down from his radio show is, I wonder if he was just kind of getting sick of that company that he was working for, too. Because remember when they were trying to force the jab on him back during 2020 and the COVID craziness?
Well, he was an outspoken opponent of any of that coercion and control by government. That was Dan Bongino. And that was, next to your show, that was my favorite hours of listening to the radio. So
that's awesome.
What I can tell you is that he is just someone I would look forward to. He was a take the gloves off, take no prisoners kind of patriot, and that's what we need.
Well, and that's why, you know, frankly, I'm kind of glad that he's stepping down, because I want to see Dan Bongino unmuzzled. And look, the Trump administration is doing great things. But if you're going to go serve in an administration like that, you know, you're not going to be able to be as outspoken, you know, because they have to maintain that type of, you know, communications discipline. And so now Dan Bongino can be unmuzzled and go back to being the freedom fighter that he's always been. And I think they have gotten a lot of great things done there, but clearly the American people want to see more. Perry, the other thing that I wanted to kind of get your take on, I think it was Goose and Anaconda who raised a really good question one time. And I think John Jackson was with us as well, because John Jackson, you know, his take, and I hope he's wrong, but I think he's right in a big extent, but I don't know how devastating it is, but you know, John thinks, okay, if Bongino's out, that's because it's such a mess, nobody's ever going to fix it, none of these crooks are ever going to be held accountable, and so he is very pessimistic on what this news means. I just frankly think that the wheels of justice turn slowly. Goose, I think it was one time, he said, well, look at how fast they threw all of our people in jail. Look at how fast Biden threw these people in jail and those people in jail and prosecuted those people and punished these people. How come we aren't doing that? Well, that's because we are not going to destroy America the way Joe Biden destroyed America. People will be held accountable, need to be held accountable, yes, but we're not going to just throw out constitutional rights and throw out the process at the same time just to throw political opponents behind bars. That's what they do. That's what they did. And if we want to remain a free republic for another 250 years, you know, that unfortunately, that's why we have got to let the wheels of justice turn.
That's right, because the Democrats, especially modern Democrats, are like soldiers, Chinese soldiers in Tiananmen Square marching in lockstep. And we squabble, we bicker, we work our way through. It takes time, it takes compromise to a point. But I got it. There's times when you just got to, I think this is never going to start really moving in our direction because of the judiciary. This is one of the hugest problems that doesn't get enough airtime, is that we are being blocked by the leftist activist judiciary.
That's right.
And there may be a point when they have to just start, I don't know what you do, impeach a judge. I've never really even heard of that. But
well, and thankfully you win Senate.
Start thinking about
thankfully
it.
You win Senate elections, and now we've got a new federal judge in Missoula, a Trump appointee, Bill Mercer, and we've got another opening in Billings. And after the first of the year, I hope to hear a really good name about who that federal judge nominee will be, and then that nominee quickly gets confirmed. That is going to be massive for the state of Montana. The reason we keep seeing these headlines about these radical left-wing environmental groups, I just saw one in the Billings Gazette this morning about how they stopped a logging project in southwest Montana, and they're bragging about it. It's because they have these liberal federal judges in their back pocket. And so, but I think, though, man, I think I got to hit the break here, unfortunately. Perry, thanks for the call. I think, though, President Trump has won 16 at least major Supreme Court victories. So I think the tide is starting to turn in the judiciary. Federally, anyway.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It is inexcusable that a university in this day and age, especially one with an $8 billion endowment, they didn't have AI, up-to-date, latest technology, security cameras, on covering every square inch of that campus. And by the way, I would include inside of every classroom that's being monitored by live agents 24/7. The fact that this late date, what is it, 5 days later, we don't have, you know, a facial recognition picture and acknowledge who this person is, it's unforgivable.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, with the cold now swiftly descending on Europe, especially Ukraine, well, it is impacting so many elderly people, like, for example, a woman by the name of Olga. Now, it could be deadly. She's 79 years old. She lives in a small village. She has no indoor plumbing, no reliable heating. She doesn't have enough money to cover food, medicine, and heat. But thanks to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Olga now receives a nourishing food box, emergency lighting, and a warm blanket. Now, this aid is a life-saving gift for someone like Olga. Now, as another brutal winter is beginning, thousands of elderly people like Olga, they are praying for a miracle, and you can make that miracle happen through the special matching grant going on right now. Your gift today will have twice the impact, up to the first $50,000. Anyway, please rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-4325. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Fox Country.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Morgan Wallen is having a banner year.
I'm gonna need some whiskey glasses.
Three of his songs became a member of the Spotify Billion Streams Club. Whiskey Glasses, Last Night, and I Had Some Help. He was also named Billboard's Top Artist of 2025. And now, he's the Recording Industry Association of America's highest certified country artist. Influential Texas singer-songwriter Joe Ely, passing away this week at the age of 78. He helped define progressive country music. Co-founded the Flatlanders and eventually went solo with a sound that mixed country, folk, rock, and roots influences. He died at his home in New Mexico of complications from Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementia, and pneumonia. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, let's see. What are we going to talk about here with the last few minutes to go? I got some ideas, but if you got something you want to talk about, give us a call right now, because like I said, we got a big guest joining us next hour of the show. So we're going to be kind of honing in on agriculture, international trade. Going to be a really interesting guest, though, I believe, because he was one of the keynote speakers at the Montana Farm Bureau. I think he also spoke at the Grain Growers Convention in Great Falls as well. But anyway, after the Montana Farm Bureau Convention wrapped up, of course, we did our show live from the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula, but I didn't get a chance to talk with this guest while the convention was underway. But after the convention wrapped up, Farm Bureau sent out a note to all their members that were there, and they said, hey, we had a lot of people reach out after they heard this guy's presentation, after they saw this presentation. You wanted a copy of this presentation because there was so much great information in this thing. And the guy let the Farm Bureau give his whole presentation, is send it out via email. And it was like 70, 80 pages of some really interesting stuff. So I thought, oh, man, I got to get that guy on the show. So he's going to join us here coming up right after this. We've been working to schedule it for a while. And I was out last week, so we're finally making it happen here later today. All right, back to this whole Minnesota fraud scandal. And when we talk Minnesota fraud, Somali fraud, we're not just talking about the $2 billion in fraud from the Somali community ripping off the taxpayers of America in Minnesota, and then Tim Walz turning a blind eye to it. Another Minnesota fraud, another Somali fraud, is Representative Ilhan Omar, a radical Islamic member of Congress from Minnesota. Listen to what she had to say about the Somali community of Minnesota.
Oh, we are doctors, we are teachers, we are entrepreneurs, and we are elected representatives of our state. And so these vile comments and this sort of creepy obsession that he has on me and Somali Americans really is dangerous, and it's beneath the office of the presidency.
We are doctors, we are lawyers.
Well, then how come 80% of you are on welfare? If you're so freaking successful, why are you taking so much money from we the people and the taxpayers of the United States of America?
And we are doctors and we are lawyers.
Well, then how come you're not taking care of the people in your community? Instead, you and Tim Walz and everybody else out there are taking care of your community by ripping off everybody else all across the country.
Doctors, we are lawyers.
And this Minnesota fraud, this Somali fraud, Ilhan Omar, listen to what she said about ICE. Actually, I'm not even going to play the clip. Well, let me play a little bit of it for you. This is what she is saying about ICE.
The Department of Homeland Security says, and I'm quoting them, ICE has absolutely zero record of its officers or agents pulling over Congresswoman Omar's son, and have accused you of seeking to, quote, demonize ICE as part of a PR stunt, their words. What do you say to that?
All right, anyways, yeah, that was Wolf Blitzer on CNN. We're just about out of time. Wolf Blitzer on CNN, good job. He called her out. She was straight up busted. She lied and claimed that her son was being profiled by ICE and that he had been pulled over by ICE, etc. Anyway, Rapid Response 47 from the Trump White House said this. Ilhan Omar caught in a lie about her son being profiled by ICE says ICE has been known to lie. Says the woman who lied about her marriage to her brother. So she lied about marrying her brother, that's what they're saying, to fraudulently get him into this country. And then now she's lying about her son being arrested by ICE. Yeah, I think you all, whenever you hear Ilhan Omar and her, it makes you want to...
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. you can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.